The Army values. The warrior ethos. Coaching and therapy. This is Warrior Leadership. Welcome to Warrior Leadership. And I'm starting something new out this week where at the beginning, before we start talking, I am going to put an ad in for myself. So this week, I'm going to advertise my book. It is Why Organizations Should Develop Their Leaders. It's a pocket guide. It can fit in your portfolio. Don't leave it at home. And it can also go in your glove compartment. But you can find that at Amazon. I'll place a link down below this video after we are done with our show here. But anyway, how you doing today, DB?
Man, I'm doing awesome, man. I'm, you know, just came back from a finished up my therapy session before I came in here. It was a spirited one. We had a really good discussion, man. And yes, the therapist seeks therapy. It's not always, doesn't always have to be something bad going on. Sometimes you need to check in, and we call it a tune-up. And you know, it's healthy. So I'm just practicing what I preach, man.
That's right. You got to do that tune-up, and we'll call it preventative maintenance. Sometimes, oh, yeah. Even before it gets bad, you need to make sure you have a discussion about it.
PMCS. There you go. Yeah. Woo! Yes.
Our mechanics love us. Oh, yes. Well, you know, our body is a well-oiled machine, too. You every once in a while, you gotta tune it up. But welcome to another episode of Warrior Leadership, everybody. Today, we're going to talk about building a network. Man, what an important concept, but we're going to put a spin on it a little bit, and we're going to relate that to social skills specifically, but we're also going to talk about why having a network is important. Go ahead, DB, kick it off.
Man, where do I start? I think this is such an important topic. I mean, we talk about, you know, connection, camaraderie a lot, and I think that what I find probably 90% of the time with people that I've worked with over the last 20 plus years is that usually when someone has an issue going on, it's because of something that happened with a person. And so, or something that happened within their community. And so I have this saying, and I try to repeat this over and over again, even to myself, but then to other people, we cannot change people, places, and things. You know, but yet it's always people, places, and things that cause us the grief that we have in our life, man. So this topic is important because if we can't get past people, places, and things, we won't grow. And we tend to, what I notice in most people is that they have these roots of bitterness from relationships and from things that have happened in their life. And so it's just so important, man, to forgive and forget. So I'm going to say that again. It's important to forgive and forget. So many people they say this, I'm going to forgive, but you don't know what they did to me, so I'm not going to forget. Well, you can keep thinking about it and ruminating on it all over and over again. But what I like to talk about is when you don't forget about it, what does that sound like in your head? And so then what kind of emotional outcome comes from those thoughts of not forgetting? And so, you know, I think, you know, this idea of just being socially connected, man, you have to understand that people are going to hurt you. You know, people aren't perfect, and we got to learn how to show people some grace and show people some mercy, man.
I agree. And, you know, one thing that you mentioned there that I kind of want to touch on is the idea of forgiveness. And the idea of forgiveness for me, I do try to forget, but you know what I have changed that to, I've kind of reframed that in my mind. So first of all, you don't forgive all the time. You don't always forgive for the other person. Mm-hmm. You forgive to cleanse your soul. You forgive so that it doesn't, I mean, we all have life that happens all around us. We have the stress of our job. We have the stress of our family. We have the stress of the car breaking down. We have the stress of, you know, the dogs throwing up, you have to go mow the grass. I mean, all the responsibilities of life. Forgiveness should not be one of those things that you have to keep on top of all of those other things. You should just let things go for the sake of your own sanity, because those things pile up and explode if you're not careful. But the idea of not forgetting, so you can tell me whether or not this is healthy, but this is kind of what I have done to kind of, I don't ever, you know, hold anything against anybody. So instead of not forgetting, I just expect people to be who they are. And I think that's a little bit different than holding it against them. That's more in the back of your mind. You know, it's almost like a safeguard to know that that person has already hurt you once. I'm not going to get burned again, but you know, I'm going to give them a chance.
Right. Right. And yeah. And you have to set boundaries, because there's a, you know, there's this idea of like circles of trust, right? And certain people should not be in certain areas of your circles of trust. It's actually an exercise I do in therapy, so I'll know where those key players are in their life that have hurt them. And so if you put somebody in the third rung of the circle, guess what? There's someone that you got to keep at a distance, because they'll probably hurt you again. And that's not, so that's different than holding a grudge. It's like, that's being wise and putting proximity between you and somebody who hasn't changed yet, and that can cause you more harm. And so we don't want to be, you know, harmed by someone again. But the problem that I have is that when you see those three circles and there's no one in the inner circle but you, that's what this call is about. This call is to say, if you write those three rungs of that circle, right, the very inner circle, which is me in the middle, then the second rung are people that, like, you know, they're kind of like associates, right? But they're not friends. We don't talk deep, superficial relationships. We talk about the weather, all the stuff that really doesn't matter because we don't have no control over it, right? The people in the third area of the ladder of the rung are people who were in the middle before. Almost every time, man, that I do this exercise, the people that end up on the third rung are the people that were in the middle. They were in the middle at one point. No one, most of the time, no one ever ends up in that third rung of the ladder if they weren't in the middle at first. And so then that lets me know. So then I start assessing, well, how is that relationship still affecting you now? And I'm gonna be honest with you, man. Most of the time, the people that are in the third rungs of those ladders are mom, dad, brother, sister, uncles, cousins, their family members. Usually, almost 9 times out of 10. Matter of fact, it's probably like 99% of the time, to be honest with you. I just want to be fair and say 1% of the time it's not a mom or a dad, but it usually is a mom or a dad. And then it's like a close friend that ends up in that third rung of that ladder, man.
I have quite a few people in that third rung, but every single one of them
earned it.
They earned that. Yeah, they were. You know what? It's because I let them close to me. I spent a lot of time with them. I gave a little bit of myself to them and let them get really close to me. And, you know, they did. They burned me. You know, I'll smile at these people in public, but when they ask me to go out for some food or a drink or something like that, what do you think my response is?
Well, you know, you should be wise and, you know, be gentle as a dove, but wise as a viper. Oh, no, man.
I'm not. Yeah. So I'm not mean about it, but I'm just like, I don't think that would work out. I think we've gone down that path before.
Right. And, you know, it's like, you know, you think about this, man. This is very important. I think we're talking about social connections. It's funny because one day we should just talk about like this topic and money, because usually it's money. Usually it has to do with money, man. You let somebody borrow money, you trust them, and they don't pay back their debt. And it's not about, what I've learned with working with people, it's not about the money. It's about the principle and how damaging you not paying me back is to how I view our connection. Because that's what we're talking about right now, right? And so when you think about that, it's betrayal. It's rejection. It's all of these like, ooh, these nasty emotions that are so below the surface that it makes us like shoot up to the top of that anger iceberg and just want to be angry all the time. And so in order for us to protect our, because I think most people know that, like, look, I can't walk around and just be angry all day long. It's just not, our bodies aren't built to just walk around and be angry all day. And so if I know that these like deep-seated emotions sort of lead to that, then I have to be wise and protect myself from environments that would cause me to get to that level. But this is the challenge and why we're talking about this today, which is, how do I assess for the right relationships and the wrong relationships? How do I know if someone's safe or not? Or do I just make it up in my mind and say, I'm going to isolate? And there's this period in life, man, where between 18 and 40, where the developmental crisis at that time is intimacy versus isolation. So if we look at most of our lives and we look at people and we're like, okay, did I resolve that issue between 18 and 40? And if we haven't, and we've moved more towards isolation, then the middle of that circle on that trust, that those trust circles, you're definitely isolated, which is 100% unhealthy, regardless if you try to justify, oh, I'm an introvert, that's why I isolate. No, you're justifying putting yourself in a position as a human that's not healthy in the long run and it's not sustainable.
Yeah, I mean, I think the whole introvert thing is a real thing. I'm not going to negate that for one second, but I will say, you know, that for me, and you know, I am an introvert. What's that?
I couldn't tell.
Well, but here's the thing. Over the years, I had to force myself outside of my comfort zone for the sake of me and for the sake of others. And not everybody has to worry about a combat situation or, you know, not going home to see their family on time if you don't make a decision for the sake of others, even if you're not in a combat situation. And, you know, all of these other things that leaders in the military have to deal with. But, you know, on the other side of that, is that really true? Because, you know what, for our kids, if we don't make the decision to improve ourselves and make more money in our job, are they going to suffer as a result of that? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Money is the dumbest thing in the entire world. I can't stand the fact that it even exists. But at the end of the day, it does. So if their friends invite them out and you don't have any money to throw their way and they always have to miss out, that's going to have a long-term effect. There are so many things that money does, but I mean, it's really, really important to make sure that the choices you make affect who you are. And if you just say, I'm an introvert, or I have anxiety, or I have PTSD, or I have depression, and you let that define you, well, you're missing out on an opportunity, because all of these things, if you push yourself just a little bit farther than your comfort level, yes, can slowly get better and better and better. And I don't think depression is a bad thing. I don't think anxiety is a bad thing. I don't think being an introvert is a bad thing. But the result of not facing those things can be a bad thing.
Oh, 100%. You have to, look, you're either going to heal or you're going to keep hurting.
Yes.
And yes, the healing process requires us to engage with other people. And it's how we heal. We heal in community. And so, yeah, you know, I have a support group that I'm launching called Man Cave. And it's been a brainchild of mine for years. And I finally said, you know what? I'm going to build it and they're going to come. I'm actually going to post it. It's going to go live today. I'm posting it on Facebook. And I'm just going to wait for the 8 to 10 men who are going to show up and be a part of the group. And I'm going to be there at that time each week, ready to serve, ready to work with them. But look, I've worked with hundreds of men at this point in my life as a counselor, right? And to get them to that step of group therapy, our support group, is the most challenging thing in the world. But you know what? In my own life, as a client of services and as an actual clinician, the greatest work ever is when you're in a group. Group therapy, man, Oh my, man. A good group, not all groups. Now I know there's some horror stories with groups, but if you're in a good group, which I know Man Cave is, you can, man, you can grow in an exponential way just by listening in that room. You don't even have to say anything. Imagine, like, you know how much I learn from, like, I go and have breakfast with these veterans every once in a while, man, and I enjoy it. And they're older than me. They're probably twice my age. Some of them in their, you know, 70s and 80s. And the information, man, that I get out of that room and the way that they challenge me and push me, man, it actually has me excited about getting old. And I never thought I would think like that, but just sitting around these men for the last, like, 3 years almost, man, it's been like I'm there to help them, but they don't even realize they're helping me from the connection. And so because I'm letting them into my circle of trust, and more importantly, they're letting me into their circle, you know, it's powerful, man. And one of the ladies, the mom, she calls me her son now. And I'm like, wow, this is, look at this. I didn't know it was going to get that deep, man. And JJ, I'm telling you, man, it's like, it's the power of connection, man. When you just put yourself in vulnerable spots around people, and you said it best, that uncomfortability, man, just being uncomfortable, man.
Yeah. Well, so let's transition. We've talked a lot about, you know, making sure that you understand the negative things about being around people that have hurt you. And so we've addressed why a lot of people don't get into a community, and you started talking about a community that you enjoy, but let's just go one step deeper into that and talk about the benefits of a network, the benefits of a community. And okay, I'm going to start that off by saying that when you have a group of people excited about something or just to talk to, it's a wonderful thing. And that's just, you know, there are a lot of other things that we're going to bring up here in the next 10, 15 minutes. But I would say to start off with, that is the most important thing, just to get in front of other people, do it more and more and more and more to the point where you're comfortable with those people. And then you can form a relationship, even if it's a superficial one. Who cares? It still has positive benefits if it's superficial.
Well, that's true. That's a good point. And I, you know, I appreciate you bringing that point out, because I was of the mind before, like, if it's not deep, then it's not a relationship, which would mean that the second rung of the ladder is insignificant. But the truth is that sometimes you got to get out of that middle circle and you got to get out to that second rung and meet people where they are before they will come to where you are at. And so it does take for these to have superficial relationships and conversations just to get there, because there's this trust factor in there, man. But like, I think one of the benefits, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I should have said it under my breath, but I mean, it beats isolation every single time.
Yes. And so for me, it's support and safety. Support and safety are in numbers, man. And I know, especially as men, we have a hard time with that idea to say, I need support and I need safety. Well, let's be practical here. I know most men think that they're like John Rambo, where they're going to run off into a grid square and have a Bowie knife in their mouth. And they're going to, like, you know what I'm saying? They're Arnold Schwarzenegger and Predator. I know most men think that they're that way, but I'm going to give all the men, because men do it more often than not, but some women do it as well, where they try to be superheroes, and they try to be the men try to be superheroes. I'm going to give all of those people a newsflash. That's Hollywood. And in reality, a very small percentage of people have that ability to be that way. The vast majority of people are not built that way. And that's just the truth. It's not me trying to, look, don't take that as a challenge and say, oh, well, DB said that I can't do this, so now I'm going to go out here and show him. No. Just sit with that for a moment, because I can honestly say, JJ, is that I know I'm built different and I know that you're built different. But you and I, we talked about this last week, the book you showed me. where what got you here is not going to get you there. And so I recognize that I could go so far in my life just by myself, and I could be happy by myself. I could be sad by myself. I don't need nobody else's help. I could say that. And you know what? I would have a okay life. But I've learned this. If I want to have an amazing life, then I got to tap into that part of the wellness wheel that's social. And I got to get out there and got to connect with people, because you know what? I'm going to say this, and I'm a therapist. I actually like people and don't like them at the same time.
Me too.
And the reality of that, when I dig underneath that, the only reason I don't like people is because what has been done to me by the hands of other people from my past. And so it's not fair to the people in my present to judge them based on my past. Every new person in my life should have an equal opportunity to get the best version of me. And I'm not going to become a different version of myself to none of those things. I'm going to still be who I am and love people exactly how they are, who they are, and where they are in that moment. And so support and safety for me is like paramount, because when I say support and safety, I'm also talking about me being a safe place and a support for them. Like, yeah. I want to be a support and a safe place for people, because a lot of times people have things in their things that going on in their mind. They won't tell anybody else but people like you and me, JJ, because of who we are, because of who we are and how we're built. There's this it's like a neon light on our forehead that says safe place, I guess, because they just keep telling us stuff, right?
Oh, is that what it says?
I don't know. It may say something else. Does it say something else?
I don't know. I'm not going to say what I thought it said, but no, but you're absolutely right. But, you know, I would say that opportunity is found in a community. You know, if you if you jump out of your comfort zone and you start getting to know people, you know, if you want to change your situation, yeah, we talk about confidence. We talk about, you know, being good to other people and all these other things, but check it out. You actually have to be in front of those other people. And I'm not talking about going to your 9-to-5 and talking to those people that you can't stand on a regular basis. That's not what I'm referring to. And we're going to touch on the executive leadership portion here in a second, but no, I'm talking about going places and talking to people you don't know. Forming relationships with people you don't know. Because if you don't do that, I mean, how do you think these senior people in a lot of these organizations or business owners or whatever the case may be, how do you think they become so successful? They know somebody. They know somebody somewhere. Though nepotism isn't necessarily something that I agree with, it happens, and it doesn't always happen on purpose. It happens because you're in that person's mind when the opportunity comes available. But if you don't know that person, they're not going to think of you.
Mm-hmm.
So step outside of your comfort zone and meet some doggone people.
No, and that's, you know what? That's good. And, you know, it's connection and belonging is another thing, man. It's belonging to a team. Like, the way that I'm built, and I think, JJ, you know, you and I got to have the same heart, man. You and I both, we thrive off of winning for the team, right? Like, we're not guys who would do individual sports. We're the type of guys, we want to do a team sport. So that way we can celebrate and we can have that victory together as a team, right? What victory do you have if it's just you by yourself? Who do you celebrate with? You're just going to go in the mirror and just cheer yourself on? Like, sharing that victory with other people, man, is so amazing, man.
How did you know?
What you mean, how did I know? Come on, man. Stop playing games.
No, actually, guess who's here? Michael just showed up. He said, hey, man, reaching out to people can be hard and lead you down a bad road. However, more often than not, it enhances your life. And you know what? I'm glad you noticed that. And thank you for reinforcing what we talked about earlier. Now, let's talk. We talked about a little bit about isolation a couple weeks ago on our podcast, but let's talk a little bit about that. You know, when you're in the workplace, it's not necessarily just the leader's responsibility to reach out to you. It's also your responsibility to reach out to your leaders if you need something, and also your other employees. 9 times out of 10, you're not going to want to talk to your boss. That guy's going to cause complications for you. But you need to reach out to people around you if you're having difficulty with something. It may get back to your boss, might not, but you know, you have to build connections where you're at in your 9 to 5. If you don't, you're gonna end up isolating there, and you're gonna hate life there, and then that's gonna eventually follow you home, unless, of course, you have I talked to somebody the other day that had 5 kids at home. I would lose my dog on mine. 2 kids is plenty for me. I think they drive me crazy. But you know, just know that the things you do outside of the home follow you into the home. And so if you have a tendency to start isolating there, I highly recommend building a miniature little community there as well. They don't have to be people on your team. They can be people not on your team, but just have an outlet somewhere and just start building a relationship, even if it's just a naggy one. Who cares? Sometimes you just have to have somebody to vent to. And actually, those relationships are common, where this person will say, my boss did this. This person will say, my boss did this. And every single time you see each other, that's still
man, I love the sound. We got to get you some puppets over there, coach.
Oh, gosh. Puppets, huh?
No, okay. Man, because that was like, I felt like I was watching Lamb Talks play along again, man. I got excited. Man. No, but you know what? You're making a good point, though, man, because like that's like in my community at, you know, my full-time job at VA, we created our own, like, it's called the Subject Matter Learners, right? And it's the Teams chat that we created. And once a week, we meet at 1 o'clock, and it's an impromptu meeting, but there's some ventilation that goes on. But to be honest with you, it's more strategy than anything. It's more, how do we work within the system, but how do we also work around it? And so there's that like sharing and influence, man, and learning that happens. Those are 3 very powerful things that happen when you're connected. But I can't tell you, man, how many times where I've been on a subject matter learner's call and my peers will give me the validation that I expect from my bosses. They will say things like, Derek, you know, that coalition that you started with those female veterans, that was awesome. That was genius. Can you help me try to establish something like that in my community? And so then I find myself like, although I don't have the title of leader necessarily, I'm talking to somebody in another area of the country, and I'm helping them formulate a plan to do something that I'm doing within my area. And then I follow up with them to make sure that, you know, see how that's going. And like even right now, man, I'm working with a coalition where, female veteran coalition, where I'm partnering with someone in the Bay Area. And so we're connecting with each other, but also it's creating a bridge for the women that are in this more rural area to be able to have access to an area like the Bay Area. They can take their family to the beach and they can connect with the other women. They can do bowling tournaments. So it's exciting. And it's just one of those things, man, when you connect with other people, you know, I think many hands make light work, especially if the people have, the individuals have the right core values and beliefs and, you know, come together, man. So it's a great opportunity, man. There's risk, right?
Yeah, there's also that old saying that if you take one, gosh, do I have more of these? No, it doesn't matter. I have a couple different things. If you take one pencil and you bend it, it's going to break. But if you put 2 or 3 of them next to each other, you can try your damnedest, but it's not going to happen. So what does that mean? That analogy is to tell you that people are stronger together. Whether you're stronger because you get things off your chest or you're stronger because you're saying things to each other on a regular basis that pump each other up, or you're stronger because now that person gave you the advice you needed to go finish a project or to get you through your day or whatever the case may be. It doesn't really matter. But, you know, you need other people in your life, because otherwise isolation means you have to deal with it in your own head. And I don't know if you've ever actually watched me on these calls, but when I'm not the one talking, I am everywhere, because this is a dangerous place to be. But
did you just come up to the camera and talk into the camera?
I don't know why I feel goofy today. It's probably because I was helping my daughter. I was helping my daughter with a homework assignment.
There you go. No, it's okay to be, yeah, you be yourself, man. I told you weren't an introvert. Where did that guy go?
Look at that guy go.
You a social butterfly today, man.
Hey, let's do it. Hey, you know what? The longer I'm in business, the more I'm a social butterfly. And the more I'm a social butterfly, the more people I meet. And the more people I meet, the more business I get. And if that's not a true testament as to why it's important to have a network or a community, good Lord Almighty. He told us we were supposed to do it. And that's exactly the reason. The proof is in the pudding. But do you have any closing comments? I just realized that we're at 31 and a half minutes.
Man, because we're going to have to bump this up to 45 minutes. Thank you to our two guests, man. I want to say that.
Yes.
And also, there's a point, like kind of like a little quote here, you know, more connections equal more chances of success. I think that's powerful, man. More connections are equals more chances of success.
That's true. I mean, if you put one drop of dye in water, it might make it a little bit foggy, but if you put two or three or four or five, it's going to completely cloud it. And it does that because numbers matter. Quantity matters. So yes, I thank you for saying all that. I thank you for the two guests for coming on. You know, we can't do this without you guys. I mean, this podcast is what it is. This live stream is what it is, because you all show up for us, whether you're here live with us or you're not, or you're here after we are done going live and you watch the replay. Whether you see it now or see it later, please like the video, subscribe to the YouTube channel, repost this, share it, figure out whatever way you have to, copy the link. I don't know what you got to do, but get it out to your network. But most importantly, please keep the conversation going. Put a comment on there. One of us will get back to you and reply to that comment. And we just want to have a meaningful conversation around these things. And always don't keep it in your head. If you have a suggestion for one of these calls, if you want us to talk about something, also put that in the comments below. But that concludes our episode of Warrior Leadership today. We'll be back next week, and we hope to see you all there. Take care, everybody.